Three-time Wisconsin Sports Writer of the Year, Jason Wilde.
Is there anything anybody loves more than agreeing with Tauscher?
Packers Hall of Famer, Mark Tauscher.
I got a hunch this isn't going to be concise either.
Broadcasting live from the Everlight Solar Studio.
I would say that you are pretty easygoing. You're actually probably more easygoing than I am.
This is Wilde and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin.
Well, there's no, you're not easygoing at all.
Hey!
On 100.5 ESPN, the ESPN app, and Wisconsin On Demand.
It is the Wednesday edition. The, I think tyrant is a strong word, but I got two different texts yesterday after the story of riding with Tausch. Both of them used the same word, addition. They also said they don't want to ride with you. But hey, everyone has different policies in their vehicles, addition. It continues to take a village to replace or fill in for or cousin sub for Jesse Nelson, addition. Big Mike is available. Can't wait for his weekly appearances on Wilde and Tausch edition. And speaking of weekly appearances, the Brian Bulaga scheduled to appear, and Uncle Homer, who said something that is drawing ire on social media, but I'm pretty sure, in typical Homer fashion, it was true, and then he took it a bridge too far edition. Oh. Of Wilde and Tausch. On 94.5 ESPN Milwaukee, 100.5 ESPN Madison, 1430 ESPN Beaver Dam, ESPNWisconsin.com, the ESPN app, your Alexa smart speaker, streaming live video, Twitter, Facebook, YouTube, and of course everything you need on WisconsinOnDemand.com and the Wisconsin On Demand app. I'm Jason Wilde in Green Bay. Today's producer du jour, that's the producer of the day, and our cousin sub of the day. Cousin subs, we believe him better. It is the sommelier. I don't like Wooly.
Nobody does.
I like the person. I don't like the nickname. It is Ryan Wollersheim in the Everlight Solar ESPN Madison studios. Hi, Wooly.
Good morning, Jason. You know, should cousin subs actually consider putting a sandwich on the menu? Producer du jour? The producer du jour?
Maybe a soup.
A soup du jour? Is that like a Jesse Nelson, like a chowder? What do you think?
It's soup a meal, because he's had one with Mike, the wedding DJ. And from his undisclosed location, he is the Packers Hall of Famer. He is the guy you want to ride with when you're in Dallas or in Tulsa. He is Mark Tauscher. Tausch, good morning. How are you?
I'm good. Explain. So, tyrant was the word that you...
Tyrant. Well, got. You said that... it. You said tyrannical at one point.
I
think it got into folks' heads. But you're a lovable character. These folks that texted me, they both listen every day. Extremely supportive of the show. I don't think either one of them has ever played trivia. But, between the potty rules that you've... I know you've relaxed them. But then, putting your buddy's business on the street for his failings as a navigator and radio doctor, it did not necessarily shine the greatest light on you as a travel companion. That's all.
How so? I mean, I am who I am.
Well, one of the questions was, are you like that as a passenger to other drivers?
If a stop
to go to the restroom, are you preventing them even though they're the driver? The other question was when you're a passenger, are you an effective navigator? At least one of them thought, how do you not just plug that into the car and have the map right up there on the screen
so both you and your friend
can do it?
How many times do I have to explain that the radio monitor was not working? Do I have to go over this again and again with people?
Well, like was it not? You blamed. What was your buddy's name again?
Bartsky.
Bartsky. You blamed Bartsky for breaking the radio. Are you now correcting the record and saying that you got a vehicle that was, in fact, already had a broken display?
Yeah, I don't know all of the... I don't know all of the ins and outs of it. So, when I'm a passenger, I prefer being Ubered. I don't love sitting shoddy.
Okay.
Matter of fact, there have been times that I have not sat shoddy with Keith Williams when we went up to Jesse Nelson's wedding.
With no one else in the
vehicle?
I like
it's more comfortable. I'm a bigger guy. It's a little more comfortable.
Sure.
And then there's waters. There's TV back there. Will I help with navigation
TV?
If necessary?
Who are you riding with?
Yeah. Style? I like...
Apparently.
You can have your phone. No, you can have your phone. It's rude if I'm sitting front seat with my phone watching this new show Diplomat on Netflix I've gotten into.
Oh,
great little
okay.
program.
Sure. Okay.
So what kind of car passenger am I? I'm what you need. You want me to leave you alone? I will. I will leave you alone. You need me to run the radio? I'll run the radio. You need me to spur conversation? I'll spur conversation. What I've found
at your service
is most people in today's day and age, outside of the driver, want to be on their devices and left alone. That's what I've noticed. As my kids have gotten older, and as Bart and his kid, it's just get me from point A to point B. I prefer driving. Matter of fact, every other year we do a summer trip to a national park with my brother, his family.
Mm-hmm.
We will do that again this year. I will do the lions, if not all of the driving. And it was funny because Sarah and I met out with some people last night for dinner. And as we got home, driving home, a text to both Sarah and myself from Helmut read, and I quote, "Boy, that direction story certainly hit home." So he is also on Team Bart, and there's nobody more loyal than old boy to me. He is the gold standard of loyalty.
He's literally sat in that seat.
Yes, many times, and he is very upfront about it. And he also wanted to correct the record and said that he is the Kansas City Chiefs of navigation, not I. I have never said I'm a good navigator. Ever, ever have I brought that up. So this is one of those times where I think after you get – listen, man, I am going to put my stuff out there. That is, of course, within reason. My life is
– And Bartsky's stuff as well.
I am going to give you a diary of my life up to a certain point on this show.
Yep. We appreciate
that.
And
there are times that it is reflective good. There are times like this instance.
Which would you
maybe
say
maybe it's
was?
Not the best reflection. And when that happens, I have to evaluate. I love being coached. It's one thing I miss a lot from a football standpoint. It's good for you as a person. My kids get sick of me coaching them. Dad, bleh. All right, fair. I get it. I can use coaching. I need help. I have learned through this process that as a driver, I expect certain things. Do I lower my standards and say I'm not expecting anyone to do anything to help? That doesn't seem very healthy. Do I push too hard and have too high of standards for not missing turns and getting off on different gas station exits? I think I need to rein in some of my driving habits. That's what I've learned.
And demands, yes. All right. Well, I wanted to get that out of the way because it was a great story yesterday. Did you get any feedback from Bartsky on how he felt he was depicted and
he
if
thought
he got
there
any
was,
feedback?
He thought there was some hype. I took some liberties.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And maybe expounded more than
exaggerated a little.
Eh, he He felt like there was maybe a little hyperbole. But we had dinner with Cripsy's last night, and Cripsy and I, we have done many road trips hockey-wise, too.
Sure. Uh-huh.
And the good doctor that saves lives, Dr. Kelm.
Yeah.
And I'm going to be honest with you.
Their team
nothing
couch.
But rave reviews from those two. So I don't have many people in my court.
Rave
as far
reviews
as
for the story or rave reviews for riding with you?
Riding. In fairness, I rode as a passenger, not the driver. So trivia games and snacks brought.
That's a totally different category.
But it is. It's
you just got
it's
done
similar.
Saying you and Dick Bennett, servant leadership. That's you as a passenger. Whatever you need, I'm there for you. You need silence,
so
I'll give it to you. You need games, I'll give it to you. So, of course,
so
you're a great passenger. It's just a driver that you suck.
Is it possible? Is it possible, just like I had to ban my wife from the oven when she had too many fires.
Not sure you had to ban her. You chose to ban her.
No, she needed it. She's improved. We have not had any major issues.
Always coaching.
Yes, gotta help. Should I give myself a 2-month ban on any long road trip that either Sarah and or Bart or whomever within this hockey season ends middle of March? Do I ban myself? Do I give myself probation from driving?
It would be an incredibly selfless act. And then the bonus would be not only would these nice people not have to ride with a tyrant, but on top of it, they would get the Kansas City Chiefs of passengers because of everything you bring to the table with your servant leadership style of being a passenger. It's a win for literally everyone, except maybe you with your desire to maybe control the drive. Like Bobby Portis teaches us.
I don't know about all of that. What I will say is it's incredibly selfish to do the ban because I should be driving because I'm a really good driver.
Yeah,
I am.
Yes, you, Rain Man. All right,
and then I am now. I'm also going to lean on people that maybe don't want me to ride with them in their car. I mean, that's another problem here. So there are issues at play outside of my own probationary skills.
Maybe if you would just,
or
maybe
should
not
I just stop being
ban.
A jerk as well, a driver? Is that kind of where we're at?
Well, you obviously don't mean that. You wouldn't say that you're a jerk. You just have high expectations, and you're demanding. You're not a jerk. That's what you said.
That's how I view it. That's not how I'm being viewed.
I would say this. I would say, like, almost like a pitcher that you only really want to use, like a closer almost. You just want to use them in certain situations. You're not gonna, we don't want you to be a miles or an innings eater. We want you for the most important drives, you know, say the roads are icy or whatever else. We want your expertise. That will take, or really long distances where Sarah or some of the other moms or dads with hockey don't want to make the drive. I think maybe there are some windows of opportunity for you to offer to be a passenger on some less critical drives. And that might be a win for everyone.
Okay.
Have you ever ridden with Bulaga?
I'm sure.
Does he have any experience
in the same car?
With being
in
the vehicle with you?
I don't think anything to the degree of this, no.
Okay. I want to get to him on time today, and I want to make sure we talk about something that really got my attention when you sent it. Like, not that your other texts don't, and this is someone else's fight that they put on social media about the types of players the Packers have on their roster. I thought this was really, really interesting. So I want to make sure that person gets credit, and I want to make sure that we discuss it before we bring on Brian, because I want to ask him about it. We will talk about that coming up after Tausch tells us about Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin.
I still feel like this month, I know people are saying January is always one of those long months. I've had a great time It's almost with over. The month of January. And you know what? If you are having some rough days, it's been cold, it's warming up. Well, you're suffering from seasonal affective disorder. There's plenty of gray and frigid days. Oh, my gosh. We just want to be snuggly and warm at our house. Well, Pella will make your home as beautiful on the outside as it is comfortable on the inside. Celebrate the new year with zero interest for up to 3 years at Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. But hurry up. You only have two more days. So visit PellaWI.com today to learn more. Certain restrictions do apply. Wooly, again, I don't want to be too demanding because I've don't put up something to distract me as I'm reading my copy because I love being distracted.
I know.
You fired up what probably is a really good carbus. Here we go.
Okay, if you're going to read it, though,
he's reading it to himself.
Gotta read it. You can't read it to yourself. You got to read it out loud. Would you like me to handle that?
So Jim and the Berg basically said, I bring snacks on in the car. Do I expect my passengers to do that? No, I don't. I do not expect my passengers to do that.
Proper spelling on Bartski before I tweet this. S-K-Y or S-K-I?
Well, his name's Bart. I call him Bartski, but you can. I think if you go S-K-I-E is probably the way I would go.
Oh, wow. I-E. I didn't even have that as an option. Okay, yeah. Good. We'll get that question ready, and then we'll get ready for Brian Bulaga. Here's the question that I wanted to ask, so you could start thinking about it and respond via the Carbless talk and text line, 844-770-3776, 844-770-3776. Now, I can't quote Jay Wall on Twitter in full because he uses some words that would get us in trouble with the FCC. But do the Packers have enough bad guys, mean guys? You need high character guys on your team, but you also need blank you guys. Let's go. I self-censored. Let's go find some of those. I think there's a couple on their team. Do they have enough? We'll address it next. It's Wilde and Tausch.
This is Wilde and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. Call Gina Della from Pella today, 855-PELLA-WI, and online at PellaWI.com/radio.
Hesitate to break down the garden gate. There's not much time left today.
From the YouTube chat, which you can join on our ESPN Milwaukee or ESPN Madison YouTube channels. The Madison chat much busier today. Tumbleweeds floating through the Milwaukee chat, even though there's a lot of people watching there. Daniel,
have we established leaders? Since you have, I give you a lot of credit. You have jumped into this YouTube, the dwellers and everything else. You've jumped in headfirst on both. They start their own show, and sometimes they'll throw you ideas that you bring to the show. I love it. Have we established you know how there's a leadership council that
sure,
I was fortunate to be
it.
A part of for
yep.
a few years?
Mm-hmm.
Is there leadership on both sides of that?
Well, there's a couple of – there's a little bit of a Lord of the Flies type vibe in there, too, just in terms of, you know, there's some – sketchy characters that command a lot of attention that maybe try to control the narrative.
Greasy or the squeaky wheel type deal.
No, more the
throw him some oil.
More the blank and jerk type deal, which maybe the Packers need more of. We'll get to that in a second.
Yeah, I was going to say, you need all kinds.
But Daniel in the live chat on the ESPN Madison channel, and by the way, Jared, some like to call him Gériad, the French correspondent, who actually, there's a story behind why Jared is spelled the way it is, because, well, I'm interested in people's stories, he's kind of the leader, the ringleader in there. The clinkster sometimes swings by, but this is what a producer's like right here. No offense, I hope Jesse's not listening on his cruise, but bring up this comment.
Come on.
And Wooly, the sommelier, as I like to call him, Ryan Wollersheim, our cousin sub of the day,
goes into the chat, copies it, and gets it posted for everyone to see. That is production value right there.
Well done.
Look, what can I say? I pay attention to the YouTube comments as well. And I will say, speaking of Jesse Nelson today, they've not been very nice to Jesse. Which is, speaking of Lord of the Flies, seems like Jesse might be on the bottom of the
totem pole.
Jesse
is very rude to them, though, too.
Fair.
That's a potato, potato.
Disrespected.
Okay, yeah. Good point.
Very disrespectful to the YouTubers.
So Daniel says, old T on road trips is just like Matt LaFleur. Standards over feelings. He calls it like he sees it. So there you go. Daniel's on your side.
All right.
Matt LaFleur says standards over feelings. I'd be curious if he always follows that.
LaFleur's a feelings guy.
See?
No doubt.
That's why
that.
We get along so well. All right. So speaking of feelings, we want someone who's more of a jerk. So, again, I brought this up. This is not my original idea. Jay Wall gets credit for this on Twitter. It appears he follows me, so hopefully he's a avid listener to the program. Have the Packers ever been the bad guys, the mean guys? Do they have enough blank you guys? So I tell this story often. There are very few players in the locker room who I've ever been legitimately afraid of. But my first year, Wayne Simmons, RIP, I was afraid of him. I was afraid to talk to him. He was intimidating and unfriendly and a badass on the field. I mean, and opponents were afraid of him too. And he had value. You asked Chewy, there was value to that on the team. I would be curious, Tausch, from your 11 years and then from when you look at this team, and then it can lead into our conversation with Brian. Like, Brian's a really nice guy, but did he flip a switch? Did you flip a switch? Because I don't know if I can think of a whole lot of guys that would fit that category. Like, even Keyshawn Nixon, who kind of feels like a dog, and you see him get into it with opponents. I'm not sure that he's authentically a bad guy. I think he's a guy that gets on the field and turns the switch. Does that make sense? And who springs to mind for you that maybe was able to do that? City?
I'm not looking at it from being a bad guy. I'm looking at it from being a no-nonsense. I am not taking any blank from anybody.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's more. Now, Wayne Simmons, I heard the same stories. He definitely was another layer, another notch above, I think, anyone I played with. There were guys that the intensity ratcheted up. Mike Wall, I think, is a great example for me. He helped set a tone. Obviously, you know, a great player. He set a tone for our group.
Mm-hmm.
And I think just from our whole offensive identity, when we had those 2 or 3 years of great running the football with Amon, I think Mike Wall set the tone. I mean, he pulled 5 million times. We ran 96 power, probably 700 or 800 times. And he was the catalyst. And he didn't take any blank from anybody. And I think most people, if you just catch up with him, he's a nice guy off the field. But he also had that, blah, mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Yep.
And I think Josh Sitton's another guy who, you know, City's one of my best buddies. He is he's somebody that he's a little bit, you know, he'll go out there now and he'll challenge people. And he is as open of a book. He's not crazy, but he's going to push the envelope. That's what we're talking about. And I don't know who on this roster does that at this point now. And I think there's always guys. You have to be careful because if you have more than one, it can spiral the other way. I want that to mm-hmm. be someone that will jump in and interject. I don't want that to be the premise of my football team. I want Reggie White and Leroy Butler, great players leading it. And then when I need to bully ball the San Francisco 49ers and their tight ends to thinking, I don't want any part of going over the middle or out here, I want someone like Wayne Simmons that's going to rip your head off.
Right.
That's what I'm looking for. I don't want a head ripper offer every game to be that's it. I want him to be there and be known, but I want great players to be the leaders of our groups.
So if you're watching on YouTube, you saw me digging around here in the radio studio. I was listening to every word Tausch said, and it was great analysis. Fantastic.
Stop,
really
dude.
Insightful. Just so thankful.
I just want you listening. Okay, you're annoying.
So
fun drop.
How about this guy? So this is Marco Rivera, one of my prized possessions. This autographed photo, which I bought at a Goodwill for like $3.
That was in the Hall of Fame. The next year we went to the Hall of Fame
game. His fist is on this defensive lineman's face.
Yeah,
you see that
awesome.
There from the Buccaneers, 96 for the Bucs. He was one of those guys.
Only thing would have been better if it was 99, am I right?
You are right, indeed. He was definitely one of those guys, especially when you were coming up,
So, Marco, I'm going to tell you this, though. Marco, probably, you know, one of my favorite teammates, one of the best leaders, even-keeled dude, but was feisty when he was on the playing field. That's a great picture because he was the guy that everybody admired because MCL, shoulder, didn't matter what was wrong with him.
He was playing.
He was out there.
Yep.
You knew he was about the team, and that's why he was a great leader.
All right, we need to get to Brian Bulaga because I do want to ask him about this as well. And we'll take via the Carbless talk and text line, 844-770-3776, the guys that you think fit that
persona. I'm trying to think who would be that guy.
I've seen a few people mention.
I think LaTroy Guyon was that guy back in the day, wasn't he?
And an outstanding guard in a pinch. I got so much grief for bringing that up on Sunday Karma because there were many on the panel who thought that that was an obscure reference. I felt like in an NFC Championship game when the defensive lineman is having to play guard, that was a pretty memorable. Him and Ladarius Gunter trying to cover Julio Jones summed up that game. I've seen a few both in the YouTube comments and on Twitter. Sean Ryan. I will say this, Sean Ryan, and I know you don't like hyperbole, but in my 29 seasons, he is the number one user of the F word in interviews. It's to the point where we have to, when we transcribe him, we bold all the F words. So if you are using that quote in your story, they jump out at you so you don't accidentally leave them in your copy when you file it. He is the FU leader in Packers history during my time covering the team. Like, it's every, like, fifth or sixth word.
He plays with a good edge, too.
Yeah.
He plays with
edge. He's one of the folks that have gotten votes. You could get in on the conversation, whether you want to be in the YouTube comments. You got to subscribe, like Tausch claims he has, to the ESPN Milwaukee or ESPN Madison YouTube channels. Or you can text us on the Carbless Talk and Text line, 844-770-3776. Carbless Liss is more. Tausch, speaking of more or Liss, that leads us right into Prize Picks.
Pretty good little transition there from Jason. Prize Picks, it is the best place to get real money sports action. Over 10 million members, billions of dollars in awarded winnings. Prize Picks has made daily fantasy sports successful. Everybody pick more or less on at least two players for a shot to win up to 1,000 times your cash. You can run your game all season long on Prize Picks. And the big game, it is almost here and it's now or never. Don't miss out on the last football game of the season with Prize Picks, the best place to win cash while watching the big game. Prize Picks is also giving away a free, and I air quote, free pick for the big game, as we air quote, where one of the starting quarterbacks will only need to throw 1 yard to win. 1 yard! Pretty sure both Hurts and or Mahomes will do that. If you're correct on at least one more stat projection, you can win real cash. So check out the promos tab for the Super Sweat Millie winners. Big game lineups. If you tail a lineup that goes 3 for 3, you can win a split of the $1 million in promo funds. Wow, Prize Picks doing it all for the big game. Download the app today. Use code WI to get $50 instantly after you play your first $5 lineup. Again, that's code WI to get $50 instantly after you play your first $5 lineup. Again, that big game. A lot of big deals going on at the big game at Prize Picks. Prize Picks.
Run
your
game.
Big game.
Wow.
Big game. Run your big game. The big fella, Brian Bulaga, joins us next. It's Wilde and Tausch.
Welcome to the 2025 NFL Draft on ESPN Radio.
The NFL Draft is now underway.
Live from historic Lambeau Field in Green Bay, Wisconsin.
With the first pick.
Thursday, April 24th on ESPN Radio, ESPN, and on ABC.
Best friends you probably never heard of, but back in Rutherford County, our crowd is second to none. You might not.
I'm dying to know if this guy was able to turn into a jerk on the field. Because certainly I'm a jerk to him from time to time on this show. It is Brian Bulaga, our famous friend. Brian, good morning. How are you, you big jerk?
I'm good. How are you guys?
We're good. So you're such a pro at this. I know you generally join us early. Did you do that today, or did you have some stuff going on?
No, I tried to get in, but, you know, Jesse's not in. Technical difficulties logging in and hearing audio. I caught a little bit at the end.
Okay, that's all right.
So
that's all right.
I didn't catch all of it. I didn't catch all of it. I caught a couple FU guys, and that's about it. So,
all right. So
Blue, was City an FU guy?
To like who?
Well, so the FU guys
preferably
are
opponents, but
in essence, it's someone that, you know, I look at. Jason, I guess you describe what you think an FU guy is.
A guy that you don't want to F with on the field, who's going to get after you, who's going to set the tone, who is going to strike some measure of fear in the hearts of opponents. Now, there is a line, right? Like, is TJ Slayton an FU guy? Because let's be honest, he's more likely to get an unnecessary 15-yard penalty than maybe set the tone, right? Keyshawn Nixon, I think he's a dog, right? Well, you love saying that, Tausch. You love that phrase. He's a dog. Well,
yeah,
dogs are part of that, right? If you're a dog,
yeah,
you've got some of that to you as well. And this, Brian, this was all prompted by Tausch came across a tweet from Jay Wall, who basically said the Packers don't have enough of these guys. And when you lose, we all are part of this. We are part of the industrial complex of what do the Packers need to do to win the Super Bowl next year? And this is one theory. I had not even thought, oh, they don't have enough of these type of guys. So I thought it was really interesting. Do you think that that's a shortcoming? And who are the guys that you played with that fit in that category? And who are the guys, when you look at this team, you think fit that category? And are there enough of them?
Yeah, I mean, I think someone that jumped off the page for me, and he was always this way, was TJ Lang. I mean, he was the epitome of that. Like, that's what TJ did no matter what. Didn't matter who was across from him. That's exactly what he did every single game. Didn't matter. Sitton really wasn't that way. Josh wasn't that way. I mean, he was an aggressive guy, but not in that manner, right? Like, he didn't talk that much on the field. At least from my recollection, maybe when he went to Chicago, he did a little bit more, but in Green Bay, he really wasn't that way. Dave talked a little bit, but not as much as TJ. And then on the outside, Tay talked quite a bit. JerMichael Finley definitely talked a lot. He had a lot to say. Aaron Jones had a lot to say. There were some guys that had, you know, quite a bit to say. So, like, you know, when you have a running back, a guy that you're protecting that has a lot to say, you're responsible for it, right? Like, so you know, if your running back talks a little smack as a lineman, you have to be ready to know that, like, opposing D linemen and running backs are looking to take shots at him. So there's a little onus of responsibility then on you to, you know, you got to be ready to go. Because, like, there's just a little more fire within that defense to try to get after your running back. So it gets everyone a little more alert to the situation. But, you know, every offense and defense needs to have those guys kind of peppered throughout them, right? Like, it's not like every guy needs to be – that type of player, right? Like everyone kind of goes about their business a different way. Like I wasn't that type of guy. It really wasn't my thing. Like if I mean, could I say something to somebody if it, they continued, like if it got to that point? Sure, I could, but it wasn't my go-to. Like it was TJ. Like that was like TJ could do it play one. Like it didn't matter. So do I think Green Bay has enough of those? I mean, I guess I don't know because I don't know these guys well enough, right? Mm-hmm. Like I know Elton is. I know Elton is. Elton, yep. That is how
that's a good one.
That's how Elton operates. Like he was doing that as a rookie. Like and the problem with Elton, and it is the best story that like I've ever like Elton, when we were playing the Eagles early on in the season in 2019. And, you know, Fletcher Cox was on my side of the ball. Like he was going against Billy and I, and, you know, a run play happens and, you know, the run play happens to the left and Fletcher Cox ends up on, you know, somewhere over on the left side of the ball. And it's like a 3 or 4 yard game. And Fletcher Cox and Elton start getting like in a shoving match and Elton's jawing at Fletcher Cox. Like, and, you know, they're just going at each other for some reason. And Fletcher Cox, like, you better talk to your boy. And I'm looking at Elton, I'm going, what are you doing, dude? You're not even blocking this guy today. That's me and Billy right now. Like, well, why are you jawing at him right now? Like, and you know, you're just like, but that's the type of, you know, that's the type of thing you get. But those are the type of guys, right? Like, that's just the way they operate. And it's okay, right? Like, that's just the way it goes. But I know Elton's certainly that way. Like he brings that type of mentality to a game. And I don't know who else on that roster does that, right? Like I don't know the guys well enough. I would imagine Nixon does. You can see the way he plays. Like he would do that. It looks like Jacobs does. Like you see Jacobs run and how he kind of uh-huh. talks and mm-hmm. how he looks at guys after he runs hard and physical. That he has that edge to him, and he enjoys contact. So when he's running and he's looking for someone to hit, he enjoys that, right? And you can kind of sense that from him. But defensively, like Nixon, I think McKinney probably likes it. You know, McKinney kind of goes down that path a little bit too. But after that, I don't know, right? Like I just don't know because I don't know the guys well enough, and that's something that. Do you need to have like 11 type of those guys? Not really, but mm-mm. probably like five out of the 11. You would need guys with that type of attitude, especially on the defensive side of the ball. If I had to be honest with you, like guys that set that standard and attitude.
Blue, when you watched the games this weekend, what stood out to you? Because one of the questions we had on Monday was, because of Saquon and the impact he had with Philly, I would say if Josh Jacobs played with Philadelphia, the Eagles still go to the Super Bowl. That was my takeaway. It's not Saquon's explosive. Green Bay needs to find more explosives, and the run game needs to be a part of that. That's not really Josh Jacobs. That was one of my takeaways. What did you look at when you saw how both of those games played out?
Yeah, I mean, I think if you insert Jacobs into Philly's offense, I mean, it's going to look very similar. I'm not taking anything away from Saquon, right? Like, there is not a thing I'm taking away from Saquon. Like, he is so good, and he is playing so well. Like, I'm not removing anything away from his year and how he's playing. Like, it's unbelievable. He's so good. Like, so, like, I just want to start there, right? Like, but, like, if you put Jacobs behind that group and the way they're playing and how they're scheming teams and what they do, like it's going to look very similar, right? Like, and Jacobs' running style, yeah, it's a little different than Saquon's, but like they can do very similar things if you put them in the same situations. So what Green Bay, like with what, you know, the Eagles are doing with Saquon, we're not running the same offense, right? Like that is something that is not going to happen. Kellen Moore's offense is not going to be the same as mm-hmm. Matt LaFleur's offense. So like that's not going to happen. LaFleur's not changing his offense to look what Philly does because our quarterback simply is not going to do what Philly's quarterback does. So like mm-hmm. we're not throwing the ball 22 times. We're going to throw it 32 times. You know what I mean? And like, it's going to look different. So, but you can take away what they do with Saquon, getting him on the perimeter, right? Like, and that's what you're able to do when you're able to stretch these defenses and get them to run and move and widen out. That's where you see these lanes open up like throughout the middle of the defense. And that's something we didn't really see this year because of the style. Like, and we've talked about it, the style that Jacobs really likes. We just didn't see much of it. But they do it with Saquon a bunch. They're getting to the edges of the defense. And when you're able to stretch these defenses out, it's one cutback through, you know, the middle of the defense, and the holes are enormous, right? And the cutback lanes are big. These offensive linemen are just, like, cutting guys out of gaps. And there's one safety sitting there looking at Saquon Barkley going, well, I really don't want to tackle him, and they normally don't. And it would be the same thing for Jacobs, right? So, like, it's what I think Green Bay can do to really open up the offense to get more explosives in the run game. And once you do that, it opens things up for the pass game and the play action game too, which Green Bay can be really effective in.
So, yeah, Brian, the question I have, Jason, just one last jump in here, is Jalen Hurts lets you get to the perimeter because you have to respect his feet. You have to respect him pulling it. Jordan Love, for whatever reason, I think injury is obviously a big part of it, that was not part of the game. He was not an avid runner this year. Like, not that he's ever going to be Lamar Jackson or Jalen Hurts, but I don't think anybody on defense was afraid of Jordan Love out on the perimeter. And that allows those DNs to not crunch down. When you're playing Green Bay, you squeeze. You can squeeze down, and you can take some of that away. So I don't know if Saquon Barkley's with the Green Bay Packers this year, is he having the same season that he just did with Philly? I would say probably not.
Well, yeah, I mean, again, like, they are running completely different offenses, and you said it. What happened to Jordan early in the season certainly prevented them from being able to had any threat of running him, and defenses knew it. He wasn't running, and he certainly wasn't going to threaten anyone to run either. Once you hurt a knee and then you go ahead and hurt your groin, you're not running, and like, it's just not going to happen, and certainly you're not going to run that far, even if you do, right? You're going to get maybe out of the pocket or get 3 or 4 yards and get down. Like, you're not looking to gash anyone in the run game as a quarterback once you have those types of injuries. You're looking to get out of trouble and protect yourself and get down. So, like, you're not looking to hurt anyone with it like the way Jalen Hurts and Lamar Jackson do. So, like, you get him healthy, and it's not a staple of your offense. But if you're able to get Jordan Love healthy and make it a threat, and even not even make it something that you want to run him, right, and make that a big part of it, but able to pull that thing and use it as a throw, a quick throw, a slant over the middle, and make those DNs pause for a second that he throws it out and things like that. Because that's what Aaron did. Aaron would pull that thing out and throw it out wide, and that would get those DNs to freeze for a second. You get those DNs to freeze for that half second. That's all you need. You don't need them to stop for like 2 seconds and play it. It's just the half second to give that running back in the offensive line the time to create the cutback lanes, and then it's wide open.
All right, we need to take a break with Brian. Just to Brian's point, though, about Saquon Barkley, and I read these stats on Monday. So Josh Jacobs ran 301 times for 1,329 yards this season. Those yards broke down. Yards before contact, 592. Yards after contact, 737. Okay? Now, Saquon Barkley, who obviously ran for more yards, he finished with 2,005 yards. Yards before contact, 1,328 yards before contact. He had one fewer yard before contact than Josh Jacobs had total.
Ooh, pretty good.
And yeah. His yards after contact were 677 yards, which are less than Josh Jacobs had, who had 700 total yards less than he had. So don't tell me that Josh Jacobs, if he's not getting hit as soon, which he wouldn't have been behind that offensive line and in that system. And the point you guys made about Jalen Hurts is a huge one. I totally think that's one of the keys to this. But tell me that this guy's got it a little bit better behind that line and in that system than Josh Jacobs has in the Packers system. When you have 1,300 yards before contact, and look, if he busts an 80-yard run and he's untouched the whole way, great. That certainly would increase that number. But he didn't have that many where he didn't have to at least break a tackle or stiff arm a guy. So those are the numbers that jump out at me. We'll spend more time
I think what we can all agree on, and before we go to break, is Green Bay has to find more explosives in its run game. That's what the big storyline for me was. But, yeah, well, we're talking about run game right now.
Right. All right, more with Brian Bulaga straight ahead. Stick around. It's Wilde and Tausch.
Wilde and Tausch on 100.5 ESPN is brought to you by Everlight Solar. Save money, save the planet. Everlight Solar.
Continuing with Brian Bulaga, Iowa. Brian,
Blue, how do you get more explosive in the run game with the current setup that we got? Because not a lot is going to change, right? Josh Jacobs had a great year. Jordan Love, hopefully he's going to be healthier. But O-line-wise, maybe center. You know, I think Josh is probably going to be gone. What are we going to do to get more explosive in the run game?
Well, I mean, you could harp on, you know, you got to execute better in this, and you know, you could do that, but I truly believe that, like, you have to go back to kind of the way LaFleur installed this thing day one, and start working Jacobs a little bit more in the base principles of this offense, which is the outside zone of it, right? Like the full zone outside zone of it. And I think if you start to work in those schemes within the outside, you know, the outside zone principles, because there were so many different variations and different plays from the outside zone where multiple tight end sets with fullbacks and different things and wide receivers that would crack, and there were so many different plays for outside zone that, you know, that were really good, that just weren't run this year, right? And I think if you're able to get those plays off the ground and get Jacobs those types of looks, a lot of those plays that we ran ended up cutting back anyway, right? They ended up working back inside and ended up cutting back and coming downhill anyway. So, like, it's hard to get outside the defense, but if you threaten to get outside the defense, the whole picture shifts over and the running back gets back downhill anyway, which Jacobs wants to do anyway. And I'm not saying that has to be the number one thing that Jacobs does, because he loved the, you know, the duo and inside zone, tight inside zone, which is great. But I think if you start to mix back in what LaFleur's offense is and start to get these defenses running side to side instead of straight downhill, you'll start to see more of the explosive run game that, you know, we saw really from, you know, Aaron Jones the year prior when he had that big stretch of, you know, what was it, 8 games or 6 games or whatever it was, where he was over 100 all the time. And I'm not saying that Jacobs wasn't explosive, you know, in his season this year. You know, he had big runs and things like that, but it was more of a grinding type run game, right? It wasn't that what you're talking about where you're seeing those 20-yard runs or the 15 or, you know, those big explosive runs. It was more of a, hey, 5-6 at a time, and it was punishing runs and downhill and kind of, you know, moving it down the field methodically. I think if you're able to throw in outside zone concepts and get defenses moving, certain things open up a little bit differently.
Brian, right.
The other thing, Brian, go ahead, Jason.
Brian, we went through earlier in the week, and Pro Football Focus is not the end-all, be-all of grading, but it is a useful tool. If you were to pick out a position that was most disappointing on the whole from this team this year, what would you say? Because Tausch is going to tell you what the numbers say.
Yeah.
Am I?
You are. I think if you look at it, I guess I don't look at it from a pro football focus standpoint. I look at it merely on production. Like, I'm a production guy. Like, and what I see, and I would have to probably say from a group, I would probably have to say the defensive line. Yeah, they came on. I thought they played well late, right? I think the last 4 weeks of the season, that's including Philly. I thought they did a really good job, but the total body of work, I would probably say the defensive line, if you're looking at from start to finish. But I thought they ended really well. But I could be wrong with how Pro Football Focus grades everything. I don't know.
No, that is what Pro Football Focus said. And we spent yesterday kind of going through the decline. And again, Pro Football Focus is what it is. But these teams are paying Pro Football Focus and Chris Collinsworth money to get their info. So it is valuable to them. And it gives you at least a jumping off point. A lot of guys play dipped, according to this metric. What are you doing? Are you going to run it back? Do you go and pick up? Do you do something big like you did at running back and safety? Or do you let the Van Nesses and the Enigbares grow? What are you doing if you're the Gutenlager? Balaga Kunst, whatever you want to call yourself.
That's it. There you got it. That's the one.
Yeah. Well, it was funny because the other day on KBN, before the Homer Hour, I was asked about Goody and by a caller. You know, he was more ranting than anything. It was asked about Goody hasn't done this with the defensive side of the ball and the first round picks and the thing was like, yes, when you select first round picks, especially on the defensive side of the ball, the way it's gone, like, you got to hit on those guys, right? Like, and it just so has worked out, like, some guys just haven't panned out the way that we all expected them to, and that's the gamble with the draft, and that's the way it goes, and If we all had the crystal ball, everyone would be really good, and that's the way it works. But, like, there is one thing that he could do, and that's go find someone that you know is really good. Like, you could do that. You could go find or make a trade for a Crosby, right? You could go make a blockbuster deal for Myles Garrett. You could do that. Like, that is on the table. Maybe another D-end on a team that, you know, we're not even talking about somewhere. And
T.J. Watt's in the last year of his deal. T.J. Watt.
Yeah, like, there's
some
Kevin
King.
Sorry. So, like, there's something to be said for that, but it's just, you know, it's how he looks at picks versus, you know, trades and free agency and things like that. And I don't know what the market is with the free agents this year with DNs and then the trade market and all that. But I think you have to bolster that unit. I really do. I think you have to bolster that unit and make some changes. And they did it already, obviously, from a coaching standpoint. You know, they moved on from that coach. You know, the coach that was there, he was the outside linebackers coach. Didn't work. You know, all right, so they're bringing in an actual, you know, a guy that is a defensive line coach, not really an outside backers coach. That should help a little bit, I would imagine. And now I think they got to bring in, you know, some guys. So we'll see how all that kind of works out. But listen, top pass rushers cost a lot of money. They do. Mm-hmm. They're expensive. They are, and I don't know what Green Bay's cap space is going to look like, because if you ask all the wish list for the Green Bay Packers, right? It's a wide receiver number one. It's a DB number one. It's a pass rusher number one. Like, number ones cost a lot of money, right? Like, they all cost a lot of money. So to get all of those in one window is it's tough to do.
By the way, in fairness to Kevin King, he was back in the league this year. He actually played in 15 games for the Atlanta Falcons this season. He even made one start after being out of the league in 2022 and 2023. So there can't be many guys that miss 2 years and come back. So kudos to him, but he is not TJ Watt. Brian, before we let you go, because we can't let you go at 10:07 because, well, that would be premature because we usually keep you till at least 10:15. On the flip side, and I was asking Tausch about this, you know, how important a position coach is to your success and development. And he talked about Larry Bechtel and he talked about Campy. Obviously, you played for Campy and then you had 1 year with Steno, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then obviously you went to LA. So Anthony Campanile is one of the four candidates right now up for the Jacksonville Jaguars defensive coordinator job. And if I look at that group and I look at what Edgerrin Cooper did through the course of his rookie season, I look at what Eric Wilson, who had been basically just the special teams guy, was able to do. I look at Quay Walker, who I thought was playing the best football I'd seen him play until he hurt his ankle during the late part of the season. It looks to me like Anthony Campanile knows what he's doing as a coach. How important are position coaches to a player's development? And if he were to get that gig, would that be a blow to that group that really came on during the course of the 24 season?
Yeah, I mean, I think position coaches play a big role because I think they serve multiple purposes, right? Like, and obviously the obvious purpose is getting guys ready throughout the week, right? Game plan is very important, like, you know, helping guys understand what is wanted from the coordinator and passing that information along and helping guys understand what the opposition team does and what their strengths and weaknesses are and going through tape and explaining what is needed throughout the week, right? And what they need to prepare for. The other part of it that I think gets underrated, and this is why I love playing for Campy and I respect him so much, is it's like part-time psychologists too. Because, like, they are with us so much that they understand what guys are going through throughout a week. That if there was maybe the week prior they didn't play their best, they understand what a guy needs mentally to kind of get them back mentally throughout that week of practice to make sure that they're feeling like they're ready to go from a mental standpoint in that game, that they're not, you know, down on themselves, that they're confident. Because, like, confidence plays such a big role in this game. And, like, people may say, well, you're pros, go out there and do your job. But, like, yeah, I get that. But, like, man, like, you go out there against a top-level defensive end and you don't think you can block him, you're not going to block him. Like, it's just, if you're not confident, you can do it. So, like, they play part-time, you know, coach, which is very important, but part-time, like, getting guys mentally in the right frame of mind to go do their job. So, like, I do feel like it would be a big loss because, like, he did do a great job with these two guys, like, getting Cooper and Quay and McDuffie. Like, he did a really good job with that group. That group was solid, right? And like you said, Quay came on late. Cooper, I think, is, like, we've all said it, I think he's going to be a really big star in this league, but he played really well. So, like, losing a guy like that as a coach, I mean, it's tough shoes to fill, right? Like, who do you bring in to replace that? Because, like, players trust a guy like that, right? Like, they're trusting what he's saying and they're buying into what he's saying and they're executing what he's asking them to do on the field. And you bring someone new in, there's a feeling out process of that. And whether you hire internally or you go outside the building and bring in, you know, there's always a, you know, a little bit of a feeling out period. So obviously great for him if he gets that gig, right? Like, you know, be happy for a guy to get a, you know, a defensive coordinator job and get a step up. But for the team and for that position group, you know, tough would be a tough loss.
Yeah, and you have that confidence that you're already seeing. Like, Edgerrin Cooper is seeing, hey, what's working? What's going? And when you lose that, then you have to restart that whole conversation. And Wooly, where would he be going if he ended up getting that job?
Who's that?
Hit that Anthony. Hotkey. That's on me. Hit that hotkey. I want to get Blue's reaction to what it's I think Liam, is one of the all-time.
He's looking for Liam Cohn.
Duval.
So if he gets the job, he'd be going where?
Duval.
What is that?
That is Liam Cohen.
Liam Cohen.
Saying Liam. Duval, which is what apparently, is that the county that Jacksonville is in?
I think it's the
You're
county.
The Florida resident.
Yeah, Blue.
Yeah, no,
come
yeah,
on.
That, yeah, that's the, well, I know that's the, that's Jackson, like, yeah, Duval County, but like, who, that's the head coach saying that?
Yeah, during his press conference.
Duval.
Yeah.
Duval.
Creepy.
Oh, what is that?
I love it.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, my gosh.
Duval.
I have that. There's got to be video of him saying that,
oh, yeah.
right?
Yeah,
there's
got to be video. We'll send that to you. We'll send that to you.
Oh.
All right, one last thing. So you said you got into it with a listener on KBN. We're not going to put you in that type of position, but we will take the occasional.
I didn't get into it. He just vented to us. Like he vent. I sat there and listened. I just listened.
Well, we don't have enough space during your time with us to take calls. So let me ask you this. This is from Roy in the YouTube comments. Brian, can Jordan be great if Josh Jacobs remains the focal point of the offense?
That's a good question.
That was a really good question.
Roy. Really good
question. Yeah, that's a great question. And I think the answer to it is, it's like a yes and a little bit of no, right? Mm. Like it's like a...
My kind of answer.
Yes, yeah, it's
very
wildy because it's tough because like if we're going to continue to just feature the run game, right? Like it and really rely heavy on Jacobs, we're going to see consistent numbers and kind of what we saw. I mean, we'll see better performance. I think Love's going to get better, but kind of what was asked of Love this year, we're going to continue to see that. People are going to say, well, why aren't his numbers better? And why didn't he throw for 4,500 yards or 4,600 yards? And why wasn't there 35 touchdowns? Well, Jacobs is getting a lot of touchdowns. He's running for touchdowns, and they're, you know, running the ball for 1,500 yards or whatever it may be. And, you know, the yards have to go somewhere, right? And they're going in the run game. So, like, and people consider quarterbacks great when they have those statistics, right? Like that's what they consider quarterbacks great as, right? Like when they're throwing for those types of numbers and get those stats. So, you know, it's going to be tough to put him, you know, to say he's great when the numbers are where they're at. Now, I still think you can throw the football and have him get those numbers and still have Jacobs rush for over 1,000 a year. And still get what you need out of Jacobs and still make him still be really good in the run game, right? And get what you need out of the run game and get him his touches and still have Jordan Love get the numbers that are required, right? Mm-hmm. Like to call him great. You could do both. I mean, there were years where, I mean, I don't know how many of them, but like we had rushers that were close to 1,000 and Aaron still hit all of his numbers that he needed, right? Like there was obviously no doubt of that. So it can be done. It's just the offense needs to, like, everyone needs to do their part for that to get accomplished, right? Like that, there's a lot that needs to go into that. But it's tough if you're going to make the run game central. Like it's only like we're going to focus on the run game mostly, and the pass game is going to be secondary off the run game, right? Like they have to complement each other, like 1A, 1B, not run game is 1, pass game is 2. They got to balance each other.
All right, Brian, we appreciate you always staying extra time for us. We will talk to you next week.
Duval.
I think I'll talk to you on Duval. Thursday on the Homer Hour.
Oh,
thanks,
my
buddy.
Gosh. That's unbelievable. All right, guys.
Brian Bulaga, the future offensive line coach for the Jacksonville Jaguars. I don't know how long the commute would be, but we got to get him to say that next time he's on. Tausch, one thing that you love to say besides Duval is Duval. Blue Mountains. of Coors Light.
Indeed, Coors Light is brewed with a three-step cold process, cold lager, cold filtered, and it is cold packaged, so it's made to chill. And make sure those mountains starting to warm up again. Got to make sure the mountains are blue. That's when you know it's chilled to perfection. That's why it is Coors Light in my hand when I need a moment to chill. Celebrate responsibly. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado.
The 10 o'clock hour starts late, as always, on Wednesdays. In 2 minutes, it's Wilde and Tausch.
Don't go anywhere. Another hour of Wilde and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin, is coming up next on ESPN Wisconsin, the ESPN app, and Wisconsin On Demand.